In September, the Washington Post had published parts of a secret memo from the Interior Secretary Ryan Zinke to the White House that had in it some details that a plan he was putting together after a long study to eliminate protections from national monuments across the country and potentially open up a lot of acres of protected land to mining and so on. We wanted to talk about that, and we are going to do so now with Brian Siebert. Brian is Executive Director of Conservation Lands Foundation, which is tweeting at Conservation LF. Brian, welcome. Thanks for being here today.
Great to be here.
Okay. Brian, is it Siebert or Siebert?
Siebert.
Siebert, okay, good. Got it right. All right, so this, again, the Secretary had said that he was going to take a tour of the country. He did so. And these recommendations on there, at least according to the memo that was leaked, first of all, your overall sense of what was contained in the memo and what we know or do not know is accurate. In other words, the memo was leaked. Is that the final memo? Was that a draft memo? What's the status?
Yeah, basically the direction the memo seems to point is that the administration does have in its sights at least 10 national monuments, very valuable places, whether for cultural sites, archaeological sites, wonderful outdoor recreation opportunities, that those up to 10 national monuments are definitely within the sights of the administration for being reduced in size, could be eliminated, or in some cases open up to oil and gas development and mining, which would be very devastating to those landscapes. And to all of the wonderful activities and resources they provide the American public.
Now, when did these monuments, are these all that were expanded under President Obama, or are there some that actually had been expanded prior to that?
Yeah, so the original review that was announced by President Trump back in April looked at 27 monuments spanning approximately 21 years, so going back all the way to monuments designated by President Clinton and George W. Bush. So it affects both Republican and Democratic presidents, of course, includes in that monuments designated by President Obama. You know, as far as we can tell, they're driven by an agenda to, again, promote industrial development within these landscapes, and that would be the overriding factor they're looking at for what's going to happen to these places.
Now, the six that have been given reprieves, which are those?
The six that have been given reprieves are Sand to Snow in California, Upper Missouri Breaks in Montana, Hanford Reach in Oregon, Canyon of the Ancients in Colorado, Craters of the Moon in Idaho, and Grand Canyon Parashant in Arizona. So those are the six that have been given reprieves. So that means there's still 21 on the list that are in some state of limbo until the president takes action. And we are considering even those off the list. They may be off this list, but there could be future actions by the Secretary of the Interior, Ryan Zinke, to open those lands up to development, even though they're off this list. There's other actions the Secretary and the President can take. So we're not considering anything safe at this point. We could see these very special places that, again, families go out and hike, camp, people hunt, fish, and enjoy those landscapes and cultural resources. We could find these opened up to industrial development.
Was there before that, for example, some of the, I'll just take Bears Ears, for example, in Utah, which I think President Obama had expanded, was there already at that point a threat to increase either mining or forestry on that particular monument? Or is that something that was possible but had not come to fruition because companies didn't find it that it would be profitable? I'm just wondering, in other words, how much of a direct and immediate threat would this pose?
Yeah, I think there's definitely in southeastern Utah, where Bears Ears is located. I was just there this weekend, and can definitely say there's a lot of folks out there enjoying that landscape the way it is. But that region in southeast Utah definitely could be opened up to oil and gas. Of course, when companies go in and determine drilling, a lot of times is determined by the price of a barrel of oil or the cost of gas. So at some point, whether it's now or in the future, we could definitely see a real interest to go in and develop that landscape. Of course, there are places that are appropriate for oil and gas development, and there's many of those in the country, and then there are places such as Bears Ears, which is not appropriate, both because they're sacred sites to five tribes and wonderful outdoor opportunities for the American public.
I guess the question maybe I'm getting to, Brian, is what the difference between could and would. In other words, what is the connection there? Even if, what's the likelihood that if it's opened up that companies move in there, or are there certain circumstances under which that would be an action that they would take?
Yeah, absolutely. Let's say you reduce or completely remove the monument. You open the doors for oil and gas development through exploration. Price of oil goes up. You have you have companies looking to go in there and start drilling. There's lands that have already been leased in there that can't be developed at this point. So that's something we could see happen. That kind of development could occur if in fact you're reducing or removing the monument altogether. So there's circumstances in which
you still have to go through a regulatory process.
There is a regulatory process, but that regulatory process ultimately, opens the door for development. So you imagine recreating next to an oil and gas rig or a pump jack. I mean, the last time I've gone to a park or enjoyed the outdoors, we tend not to recreate and picnic with our families in the outdoors next to pump jacks and industrial development. So it very well could happen, and right outside the boundaries of Bears Ears, you've got oil and gas development occurring. So very likely it could happen.
Who would say yes to something like that? In other words, would this be a federal process? Would it be a state process? If companies that now had the capability, if these monuments were changed in their status, how difficult would it be for them to actually go ahead and get those kinds of operations approved?
Oh, they could definitely get them approved. It's largely a federal process. There's a whole leasing process they go through. They put forward applications to drill. Those are often approved, if not challenged in court. And then you end up with oil and gas rigs on the ground. So it while there may be a regulatory process, you're still going to end up with pump jacks and oil derricks within that landscape. So it's something that's very plausible.
And a lot of this is based on the leaked memo. I wonder, when does this process become official? When does this become actual policy and Interior Department regulatory reality, I guess?
Yeah, and as we were saying earlier, we've got this leaked document. It points in a particular direction. It doesn't provide exact specificity. It talks about reducing the size of these 10 monuments or opening them up to development. It points in that direction, but of course the president will have to take action in order to actually have some kind of impact on the ground in terms of the reduction or removal of these monuments again, or opening them up to industrial development. So the president will have to issue some type of executive order, change the proclamations for these monuments, and then that opens the door for that development to occur and to move down that process. But I guarantee you the Conservation Lands Foundation, as well as individuals on the ground who care very much about these monuments, will be in court challenging any attempt to change the management or boundaries of these national monuments.
Ryan, thanks for being on POTUS today.
Thank you. Appreciate it very much.